the unknown.
Mystery.
Space.
Science!
Have fun.
Adventure.
Suspense.
Fantasy.
Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror.
Welcome to journey number 103 of the Journey Into podcast, featuring the BBC production of Journey Into Space, Operation Luna, our final episode, number 12. I'm your guide in this journey, Marshall Latham, coming to you from base camp in Turner, Oregon. I am taking a little break from the podcast, but in the meantime, I wanted to keep you entertained with this production of Journey into Space. I will continue to air this series twice a week until we finish up at episode 12. After that, we'll return to hopefully a normal schedule of full cast productions as well as old time radio shows. But for now, come with me and let's journey into space.
Everyone remembers Neil Armstrong's first steps on the moon and the words he spoke. Few remember the final speeches just 3.5 years later. The task of summing up the Apollo program fell to Gene Cernan as he stood on the surface of Earth's nearest neighbor.
This is Gene, and I'm on the surface. And as I take man's last step from the surface, back home, for some time to come, but we believe not too long into the future, I'd like to just let what I believe history will record, that America's challenge of today has forged man's destiny of tomorrow. And as we leave the moon and Taurus Littoral, we leave as we came, and God willing, as we shall return, with peace and hope for all mankind. Godspeed the crew of Apollo 17.
Roger, Gino. Thank you very much.
Journey into space. The BBC presents Jet Morgan in Operation Luna. Jet Morgan and the crew of rocket ship Luna stranded on the Earth some 20,000 years before they left it. They made contact with the time travelers, creatures from another part of the universe who many thousands of years ago began to colonize the Earth. But the time travelers are being driven away from the planet by the forest dwellers who, over the centuries, have gradually developed into creatures with intelligence and an apparently insatiable desire to destroy. The time travelers promise to help Jet and his crew get back to the moon, and it's hoped the 20th century. So, final preparations for the takeoff were made.
Radio okay. Ready for takeoff.
Automatic oxygen supply okay. Ready for takeoff.
Radio, televiewer, and radar. Test satisfactory. Ready for takeoff.
Well, that's it.
Good.
Let me know when your straps are set.
All ready, Jet.
Ready.
Micho.
Position control panels.
Control panels. Contact.
Let's hope they are up there and waiting for us.
Yeah. What if they're not?
Hey, hadn't we better be prepared for that, Jet? If we just go straight up and they're not there, all we can do is come straight down again. And if we do, we'll make a hole big enough for the time travelers to get one of their cities in.
I've already thought of that. As soon as we've left the ground, we'll tilt our nose to an angle of 45 degrees. That'll set us on an elliptical course. And if we do have to return, at least we'll enter the atmosphere something like nose first and have a reasonable chance of landing it again.
When do we cut the motor?
As soon as our velocity's high enough to carry us 1,000 miles.
Mitch, have we enough fuel for that?
Just about. There might even be a little to spare.
Switch on the radar.
Radar, on.
Lemmy, televiewer, stern view.
Televiewer, on.
Doc, gyro.
Gyro.
Okay, Mitch.
Okay, Jet.
Then stand by for takeoff. 15 seconds. 10 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Fire!
Height, 6.8 miles. Velocity, 3750. Height, 12.1 miles. Velocity, 4350. Miles.
Stand by to alter course.
Standing by.
Okay, Lemmy.
Okay.
Flywheel one, contact.
Contact.
1 degree. 2.
Hold it, Doc.
Steady as he goes.
Cut the flywheel.
Flywheel, cut.
Stand by to cut motor.
Standing by.
Cut. She should coast the rest. Any fuel left, Mitch?
Very little. Enough for one biggish burst, and that's it.
Enough to make a moon landing, if we have to?
No, not by a long sight.
Oh, blimey.
Lemmy, switch on the forward televiewer. The time travelers must be ahead of us somewhere.
Forward televiewer, on.
Rotator, Lemmy.
Rotated.
Any sign?
Not yet.
Switch on your personal screens. Let's all look.
Yeah.
Well?
I don't see them.
Me neither.
Well, they better get a move on it. They're coming. We're losing speed all the time.
Yeah, we soon won't be going up anymore. We'll be going down.
But there's no sign of them. They should be there.
We shouldn't have altered course. They expected us to rise straight up. They can't be waiting in the right place.
But with the equipment they have, Mitch, they must be able to plot our course easily.
Yeah, just as well we did change direction, if you ask me. Looks like we'll have to attempt a landing again anyway. It never knows where we'll end up this time.
Lemmy, try the stern view.
Hey?
Yes.
But...
Don't argue. Switch it on.
Stern view, on. It's us that's just taken off, not them.
Hey, there they are. Right behind us.
Of course. That's where we always saw them before they lined up for what we thought was an attack.
And they're flying in that circular formation again.
Yeah. All right. Now we can relax and don't move.
They're coming in closer. I can hear them now.
Yeah, me too.
Lie flat.
Thank goodness we're strapped to our beds and not caught out on the floor like last time.
Oh, this is where I wish I'd brought one of them time travelers' beds with me. What wouldn't I give to sleep through this part of the proceeding?
They're coming closer.
Getting very close now.
Here comes the pressure. Can you feel it?
Yeah, I can.
It's going to work. I know it is.
Oh, I hope you're right.
Oh, we must be accelerating like mad.
Quiet, Lemmy. Save your breath.
I can't.
Lemmy.
Oh, I feel sick. Awful sick.
Take a deep breath and try not to be. Mitch. Mitch.
Oh, I think he's still out, Jet.
Oh. You all right, Doc?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you think we did it? Crashed the time barrier, I mean?
Oh, we must have done. It was just like it was before, in every way.
Oh, thank goodness for that.
Hey, what are you doing?
Putting my magnetized boots on. I want to get over to the main televiewer. If we have crashed the time barrier, we should now be out somewhere way out in space, way, way out, and traveling at a tremendous speed, back towards where we came from, down through the centuries towards the moon and home. Switch off the rotator, Lemmy. They're nowhere to be seen.
Right. Well, that's how it was before, wasn't it? We saw nothing but the stars. No sign of the Earth, the moon, or even the sun. Let alone those spaceships.
Do I keep the televiewer on?
Forward view only. Let's at least see where we're heading for.
Right.
Hey, Jet, Mitch is waking up.
How are you feeling, Mitch?
Dreadful. What's happened?
Oh, we increased speed and lost consciousness. All of us. You're the last to wake up.
How long have I been out?
Oh, nearly 15 minutes.
Truth. I'm beginning to think I'm too old for this game. Where are we?
Out in space. No telling where. Televiewer shows nothing but stars, millions of them.
And no sign of the time travelers either. We're completely alone. A tiny speck of dust, lost in the universe.
Do you think our friends will show up again?
I don't know.
Have you tried calling them?
Yeah.
How?
Well, all we can hope is that the solar system, our own solar system, will appear on the screen. Then we'll know we've made it.
Traveled back through time, you mean?
Back? Or forward? Or so far forward that we come up behind ourselves?
Oh, don't, Jet. My head can't stand it.
Hey, look. What if we don't hit the bullseye? What if we do return to the moon at a completely different time?
Oh, turn it up, Doc.
Well, it is possible, isn't it? They said they couldn't guarantee anything.
Well, if we don't hit the right period, let's hope it's the future this time and not the past.
Yeah, I've had my basin full of the past, thanks.
Why the future, Jet?
Because then we'll see just what man did make of himself. Whether there are any men left at all.
Oh. He may have annihilated himself, you mean?
Anything may have happened. The time travelers might be colonizing the Earth all over again.
And what if we go back even further into the past?
Who knows? We may even land during the Reptilian Age and meet Brontosauri as big as houses.
What, no men?
The Reptilian Age, Lemmy, was a pre-man age.
Pre-man, post-man, what difference does it make? We're in the soup whichever way we go.
Unless the time travelers have pulled it off and we do arrive back on the moon at exactly the time we left it.
And supposing we do, how do we land? We haven't got enough fuel.
Yeah, but if we get back to that time, before we took off from the moon, I mean, things should be exactly as they were then. And there should be sufficient fuel in the tanks, because we wouldn't have used up any, because we wouldn't have landed on the Earth yet.
Yeah. Is that what will happen, I wonder? Can we regain the things we've lost during this journey back through time?
And what has happened to us physically? Have we grown older?
You mean, does it take time to travel through time?
Yes. Or do we return to the exact age we were before we made the journey?
Well, this beard I got hasn't wasted any time growing, and I certainly feel a lot older.
But if things do revert back to what they were, we shall have lost all memory of this, of everything. It'll be like it never happened at all.
Doc, get your diary.
What for?
Get it, quick.
Yeah, sure.
What's the idea, Jet?
You'll see.
Well, here it is.
Now, look back to the time when we first began to hear that strange music.
Well?
Is it all there?
Yes, it's here.
And the time we spent on Earth, by the river, the appearance of the time travelers, is that all there?
Yes, every word.
Then start writing again. Record everything you can think of since you last made an entry. Everything.
But why?
Because if we do get back to the exact time before we journeyed through time, and we do forget all this, because by going back we can have no recollection of what is to come, that diary will be our only proof that anything happened at all.
What if material things change too, back to what they were?
We can only wait and see until we sight the moon again. Only then will we know the truth.
The truth about traveling through time, yes, Jet, but not the whole truth.
How do you mean, Doc?
Well, what do we know of the time travelers themselves, for example? Virtually nothing.
Well, it still beats me how they managed to repair this ship and get it ready for takeoff without even consulting us. I can't begin to make out how they do half the things they do.
I expect the forest creatures would think much the same about us, if they could think.
Ah, but that's different. Them forest creatures were men like ourselves, but the time travelers didn't seem to be. They look more like animals.
Biologically speaking, man is an animal too. It's the size of his brain that makes him superior.
Well, them time travellers didn't seem to have extra big heads that I noticed.
Well, the way you ran when you saw one, I wonder you had time to notice he had a head at all.
Nah, there's no need to get personal about it.
Come to think of it, their heads were rather large. They probably do have fairly big brains.
What, you mean every clever man is a big head?
Not necessarily, Lemmy.
Quality is just as important as quantity. A race of men or animals with large brains that are also of high quality could do remarkable things.
Well, now, let's face it. They were a large type of animal and much bigger than us. 12 feet high, at least.
12 feet? Well, that's a bit of an exaggeration, Mitch, I must say.
Well, how tall would you say they were, then?
Well, 9 feet, certainly no more.
Nah, 12 feet.
Do you agree they were that tall, Doc?
I wouldn't have said they were more than 7 feet at the most.
Now, what kind of brains have we got? We can't even size them up.
Well, we couldn't run them over with a tape measure, could we? The shock and surprise of seeing them seems to have upset our judgment.
But if we can all differ so much about their size, how clear are we about what they look like?
Well, in spite of what Dr. Mitch said about his nibs having a monkey face, he didn't look like a monkey to me when he showed himself on the screen.
What did he look like to you, then?
Well, he had a face more like one of them fruit-eating bats that you get in India.
I don't think you'd have said that if you'd have stayed long enough to see him.
Why not?
Well, because on the screen he appeared in black and white. When we saw him in that sphere, we saw him in full color. And his face was bright blue and purpley red, just like a mandrel.
Well, he looked like a bat to me. And what about this armadillo business?
Well, it was his skin that reminded me of an armadillo. It was more like a bony armor.
Just his skin? He wasn't shaped like one?
How could he be? He stood up on two legs and had long arms.
But he looked more like an animal than a man.
Yes.
That's the trouble with us human beings. We think any other form of civilization anywhere in the universe must be produced by creatures like ourselves. We won't grant it could be different.
Well, how different could it be? Well,
very different. Man's pattern of civilization could be only one of many variants.
Well, I don't see how.
Well, just consider man's history. First, he's little more than an animal, like those forest creatures. But even so, I wouldn't mind betting that if you could look thoroughly into their way of life, it would consist principally of two things.
What?
Well, a practical approach to the necessities of living, like the manufacture of tools and weapons.
Isn't the other?
The desire to express themselves in some way. An artistic streak.
Artistic? What, them gorillas?
I bet that even now, back there on the Earth some 20,000 years ago, there's at least one man in every family who spends a good deal of his time carving or drawing the world he sees about him. Or if he doesn't do that, he's busy wasting his time banging a hollow log with a couple of bones for drumsticks. And he's probably better at that than he is at planning his tomorrow.
You mean that man is essentially an artistic creature?
He always has been. He'll paint, draw, sing, and dance because he can't help it. He'll build a house or make a spear because he has to, or die.
Oh, I can't accept that yet.
Can't you, Mitch? Look, how long has man been a scientific creature? 500 years at the most. 500 years out of something like 120,000. But no matter how far back you go, you'll always find some kind of artistic trend.
But look, what about the ancient civilizations? They couldn't have grown without some kind of scientific application.
A very sketchy, elementary kind, I grant you. But the same people who built the pyramids of Egypt made a far better job of making gold ornaments and carving statues, hundreds of years before they even attempted to build a pyramid.
But, Jet, man's scientific trend is always evident right throughout his history.
Yes, but lagging way behind his artistic trend.
Well, I don't see the point of all this. What are you getting at?
Just this. Supposing man, instead of developing his artistic trend first, had developed his scientific one.
Yeah.
Supposing all the scientific knowledge man has now had been known to the Greeks or the ancient Egyptians, and that over the centuries since, his store of knowledge had grown proportionately.
Well?
Well, where would he be today?
I hate to think.
Well, where would he be?
Probably where the time travelers are now, or a long way towards it.
Eh?
You mean that's how the time travelers have got where they are? By developing along purely scientific lines?
Why not?
You mean they have no arts, literature, sculpture, music?
He'd never heard of music. He didn't even know what it was.
Yeah, but that underground city, it was beautiful.
What was beautiful about it?
Well, the flowers, for one thing.
That was nature, not the time travelers. They're not responsible for flowers.
What, you mean they could have them flowers all growing there and not appreciate them? All the wonderful bright colours?
Who knows if they can even see colour? They may live in a completely grey world, like a dog.
All right, but how about the way the city was laid out? Those spheres and the domes above the ground, perfectly symmetrical and beautiful because of it.
Yes, to our eyes. But they could mean no more to the time travelers than, well, a technical efficiency. There is beauty of a kind in a triangle, in a circle, in an ellipse, but none of these things expresses anything. They don't arise from an emotion any more than a mathematical equation does. A plus B equals C. It's an expression of a truth, that's all.
Well, then, what about their kindness, their generosity, their willingness to help us?
A tree bears its fruit. You eat it and are grateful. If you were a savage, you might thank the tree and give it something in return. But it doesn't mean the tree is kind or generous. It does it because it can't help it.
Yeah, I wonder how long the time travelers have been in existence.
Yeah, and how long they live. They took for thousands of years, although it was a week.
It's probable that a time traveler of 70 is no more than a babe.
How could they live that long, devoting their time to nothing but science? What do they do for fun, for relaxation?
If they have any form of amusement, I saw no sign of it.
Maybe we're their idea of fun. Maybe they get their relaxation by knocking people like us from one century to another and back again.
I shouldn't think that'd amuse them. I doubt if they've any sense of humor at all.
Humor, you call it.
I believe they're a practical people. I'm sure they wouldn't devote one second of their time to anything that didn't bring about some material benefit or progress.
All work and no play.
Their work is play. Their play, work. Like an ant, dead busy all the time because he can't help it.
Well, if what you say is true, Jet, we must appear very backward, primitive people to the time travelers.
Oh, I'm sure we do.
And yet they were willing to take us with them to Venus.
Yeah, I think it was more in self-defense than from any kindness towards us. By venturing out into space, by conquering the moon, man may threaten the voice and his kind again.
But he's not on the moon. He said he was going to Venus.
If man can get to the moon, he'll get to Venus.
Still, I wonder what it would have been like if we had gone with them.
Dull. Very dull, I should think. Their world would be orderly, clean, efficient, with no worries, no empty stomachs, no heartache, no emotions. Only a pure scientific efficiency until the end of your days. No. Not the life for an inquisitive, do-or-die being like man.
Well, I wonder if we shall see the time travelers again.
When do you mean, now or in the future?
Oh, I mean now, before we reach the moon.
Well, I hope so. Otherwise, how shall we know what to do when we get there?
One thing's certain. We can't land. We haven't the fuel.
Well, what do we do then? Fly straight past and say hello and so long to the man in the moon as we go by?
If we pass close enough and at the right speed, it'll be impossible to go past it. The moon's gravitation will pull us into an orbit round it.
And what happens then?
Unless we do something about it, we keep going round it. Forever.
Hey, but don't you think the voice will even call us up to see if we're all right?
I doubt it.
You know, I could kick myself and I think of all the things I could have asked him and didn't.
Well, the most important thing of all we did ask.
Yeah, what was that?
To get back to our own time.
Yes, but asking for it doesn't mean we've got it. We're still out in space. There's no sign of the sun or the earth, let alone the moon. And we can still remember where we've been and what's happened to us.
I'm not so sure it did happen. The old thing's already beginning to seem like a dream to me, and a bad dream at that.
Yes, Lemmy, we'll probably all wake up soon and find out it was.
Yes, that's what I'm scared of. That's why you must get to work on that diary, Doc. Write down everything you can remember before you lose it.
Yeah, sure.
Meanwhile, Mitch and I'll keep televiewer watch. If the time travelers have done right by us, it shouldn't be long before we sight the solar system on the screen. And we'll have worries enough to keep us occupied then, believe me. Think that can be it, Mitch? The sun? Our own sun?
What else could it be? It's been getting bigger all the time.
Yeah, but not big enough for us to see its planets yet, if it has any.
Well, the rate we're traveling, it won't be long before we do see them.
Supposing we don't slow up. Supposing we do go shooting right past.
Well, supposing we haven't arrived back at the right time.
What are you two trying to do? Cheer me up or something?
If that is our sun, the Earth will be revolving around it. And it'll have cities on it. Towns, ships, houses, men. Not prehistoric men, but men of our own time. Men and women who look like us and think like us.
Yeah, and down in Australia, there's a radio operator waiting for me to call him up and tell him that Luna has left the moon and is on her way back to Earth.
We've already done that. The last message we sent was to tell them we were going to circle the moon.
You don't think they could hear us from here, do you?
I doubt it, Lemmy. Even if they could, it would take some minutes before you got a reply.
Well, I can wait. But supposing I do get them, what do I tell them? That we're outside the solar system altogether?
Now, that would be something.
Yeah, give them a bit of a shock, wouldn't it?
Give me a bit of a shock if we got a reply.
Well, shall I try it, Jet?
Yes, if you like, but what? I don't think there's the slightest chance of their hearing us from this distance.
It'd prove a thing or two if they did.
What, in particular?
Hello. Well, that we must have already travelled through time, and the memory of what we've been through is going to stay with us.
Hello. Come in, please. I'll give them 15 minutes to reply, and if they haven't by then, well... Oh, no, listen. They're here again. It's his Nibs.
Either him or his ships. Watch the teleview, Mitch. See if we can locate them.
Yeah, right.
Hello, Luna.
No, wait.
Where did that come from?
From the radio.
Let's get over there, quick. Hello? Hello, Luna calling.
I know. Where have you been?
Eh?
We've been waiting for you. It took you a long time to get here.
A long time, he says. It must be all of 40 minutes.
Where are you?
A long way from you. You should have opened up your radio before. I've been trying to call you.
Oh. Tell me, have...
I don't think you need worry about anything.
You mean we've made it?
I think so. But we haven't finished with you yet.
How do you mean, haven't finished with us?
You want to land on the moon, don't you?
No, we don't. Look, we haven't got enough fuel. We used it nearly all up taking off from the Earth.
Then I will have to arrange things a little differently.
Well, how?
You had better all get on your couches and strap yourselves in.
What are you going to do?
Help you get back to your own time.
What, you mean we're not there yet?
If you were, you wouldn't be out here in space, would you?
No, I don't suppose we would.
Do as he says. Get on your bunks.
Right, okay.
Hey, Doc.
Yeah?
Did you hear that?
Most of it. I've been trying to take it down.
Well, you better stop now. Things are about to happen.
Right.
And let me know when you're all strapped in.
I'm fixed.
Yeah, me too.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
We'll be all set in just a few moments.
Very well. This is the last time you will hear from me.
Why? Where are you going?
To Venus. To my new home.
Oh, well, we'll look you up in about 10 years from now, then.
That we shall see. I hope our meeting has been of benefit to you.
It has, very much.
Remember, our ships will always be watching you.
Eh?
Are you all strapped in now?
Yes.
Say, wait a minute before you go. Look, there's something I want to ask. Hello? Hello?
Blimey, what's going on? What's happening?
Lie flat, everybody.
Ooh.
Lie flat, don't move.
The truth.
Ooh. Hang on. Hold tight.
Well, don't look any different from the other side, does it? Craters, mountains, plains, just the same.
Didn't expect it to be all that different.
Hey, Jet, come over here, look at this.
What?
Look, directly below us now. It's the biggest crater I've ever seen. About twice the size of Copernicus.
Yes, I can see it.
But it's crammed full of little craters. Tiny ones in regular lines.
Yes. There's a tendency for craters on the Earth side to form lines of a sort.
Here, Jet, you know something?
No, Lemmy, what?
I've got that weird feeling that I've done all this before.
Strange you should say that, Lemmy. So have I. A very strong feeling.
Yeah, well, I haven't. No man on Earth, alive or dead, has ever seen the other side of the moon. You couldn't possibly have done it before.
Keep working that camera, Doc. Get as many pictures as you can.
You bet.
They're going to get the surprise of their lives back home when we tell them about this.
Well, nearly completed the circuit now. Soon our nose will be pointing to Earth again. You better stand by to cut in the motor.
Right, yeah, right.
And let me know when you're all set.
Okay, Jet.
Okay.
Okay.
Cut the stern teleview, Lemmy. Switch on forward view.
Teleview up. Forward view. On.
There she is. The Earth. Directly ahead.
You said that, Mitch, as though you hadn't seen it in years.
I feel like I haven't.
But you saw it not 50 minutes ago, just before we took off from the moon. Position, Lemmy?
Coming in the center. 5 degrees.
Doc. Stabilizer.
Stabilizer.
4 degrees.
Mitch, motor.
Oh, wait a minute.
Hey, what's the matter?
The fuel, there's hardly any left.
What? But you said there was plenty. Oodles of it, you said.
Well, there's not now. Look, something's wrong. We've lost it somewhere.
3 degrees.
We must have used up much more than you thought.
We couldn't have done. Not on a moon takeoff. We shouldn't have used half of it.
2 degrees.
Have we got enough to set us on course for Earth?
Yeah, just about. No more.
Well, stand by to switch in motor.
Standing by.
1 degree.
Contact.
Speed 3,300, 350, 360, 370, 380, 5,100, 5,200, 300, 400, 500, 600.
Cut the motor.
Earth, dead center.
Course correct.
Cut the stabilizer, Doc.
Stabilizer cut.
Well, that's that. On course, correct velocity, and we're heading for home.
All right, Lemmy. Call up base and let me know when you get them.
Right.
You better check the fuel gauges, Mitch. Make sure the fault isn't with them.
You're too right, I will. Not an hour ago, when we took off from the moon, they registered half full. Now they're all but empty.
Well, you better check them carefully. We may need a burst or two from the motor when we land on Earth.
Yeah, right.
Hello. Luna calling. Calling Wongawala, Australia. Come in, please.
Hello, Luna. Wongawala, Australia calling.
I've got him, Jet.
Oh, thanks, Lemmy. Hello, Earth. Jet Morgan calling.
Hearing you loud and clear.
We've completed our circuit round the moon. Have taken numerous photographs and are now heading back to Earth. Velocity is 5,500, and you can expect us to be within landing distance in 4.5 days from now.
Thank you, Luna. What did the other side of the moon look like?
Much the same as this side. Except there's a crater there, a large crater, much bigger than anything you can see on this side. It's colossal.
That all? No green-eyed monsters or anything?
No green-eyed monsters. Look, we have to make our routine check now. And we'll all be pretty busy for a bit. We'll call you again in 2 hours.
Right. And while you're coasting back to Earth, you'd better get all the sleep you can.
What for?
You're certainly going to get a big reception when you get here. I think every Prime Minister in the Commonwealth is flying out to Wongawala to meet you when you land.
Oh, blimey.
All right, Control. We'll call you again later.
Okay, Luna. I'll be listening up.
I can't understand it, Jet.
What's that, Mitch?
Those gauges are right. The fuel tanks are empty. Well, as empty as makes no difference.
But they can't be. We carried enough reserve for an emergency, and we haven't had need to use any of it.
Well, they're empty just the same. It's a wonder we got off the moon at all. You know, if I'd known we got so little, we wouldn't have gone round the other side, I can tell you that.
There's something I can't understand, Jet.
Now, what's your trouble, Doc?
Well, the oxygen.
What about it?
Oh, when we took off just now, the gauges registered enough for 5 days. Now they register hardly enough for 4.5.
What is going on? We couldn't have used up half a day's supply in less than an hour.
Well, we have, somehow, somewhere.
That 14-day wait on the moon must have had a more serious effect than we thought.
But that's ridiculous. How could it?
Search me.
We'll search the whole ship. If fuel and oxygen can disappear just like that, other things can too. Now, get started. Check everything. Food, batteries, the lot.
Okay.
But where did this food, if it is food, come from? This isn't anything like the stuff we brought with us. It seems to have undergone a complete chemical change.
And the fruit juice and cold tea has changed to water.
I don't like this.
Now you're talking sense.
Look, how could it possibly happen?
Well, you said that out in space we'd make new and startling discoveries. Well, we've made them. Fuel and oxygen evaporate and food turns into something else.
Do you think this is any good to eat?
Well, Doc?
Not bad. Rather sweet. Like honey, but with a texture of bread. I don't think this can do us any harm.
Yeah, better not. It's all we've got to live on for the next 4 days.
Is there anything that's happened since we left Earth that could account for all this?
No, heaven knows.
Well, least we can do is think back and see.
Oh, but it's that strange music we've been hearing.
How could that account for
it? Well, it's said that thunder can curdle milk. Maybe that music can curdle our grub or change it some other way.
Get out your diary, Doc, and let's check up on a few things.
Okay, just a minute.
I don't see how Doc's diary is going to help.
It might. It's worth trying, anyway.
Here you are.
Good. Look up the first time Lemmy heard that music.
That was not long after we took off, when the radio packed in, wasn't it?
That's right, Doc.
And we heard it again just before we were about to land on the moon. At least Lemmy did, yep. Over his intercom. Then we managed to contact base. We told them we'd been stranded on the moon throughout the lunar night, but that everything was now working again. We were about to take off, but would circle the other side of the moon before returning to Earth. Which we are now doing.
It's all very strange, isn't it? How are we ever going to account for that music, the appearance of that saucer-shaped ship, or anything else? They'll never believe a word of it back home.
Not even when they see what happened to our grub?
Hey, wait a minute.
What's up, Doc?
Well, there's stacks more of this diary. Pages of it.
What?
Yeah. Look, it should end here, but it doesn't. It goes on.
Yeah, but how could it? You haven't had time to write anymore.
Well, then what's this? They're not blank pages, are they? And is that my handwriting or isn't it?
It certainly looks like it.
But, Jed, I don't remember right. Hey, wait a minute.
What is it?
I don't know yet. Listen to this. November the 20th, 1965. Earth time.
November 20th? That's today.
It is now more than 2 hours since we left the moon and found ourselves in these new and frightening circumstances. How we got here, what really caused it, we shall never know. The fact is, we are somewhere within the galaxy of which our sun is a member.
we are adrift in space, may be destined to wander around the universe forever, helplessly, hopelessly. We can only put our trust in the time travelers and hope they pull it off. If they don't, these words may never be read by anybody, and the story of our strange adventures will die with us. Now Lemmy has picked up the voice on the radio. He tells us to go to our bunks and strap ourselves in, and everything will be all right. So I must now leave this diary and do as he instructs.
Do any of you remember anything about what Doc has just read?
Well, not me, Jet.
Nor me, but I did have a feeling we'd been round the other side of the moon before.
I had the same feeling, Lemmy, but as for what's in this diary, it's all new to me.
Yes, but it seems that's why I told you to write it all down, in case we did forget it.
Yeah. That could account for the fuel and oxygen shortage.
And the food being all different.
But are they going to believe all this back on Earth? I can hardly believe it myself.
Well, they either think we're plumb crazy or we cooked the whole thing up as a practical joke.
Blimey, wait a minute.
What is it, Lemmy? Where are you going?
You'll see.
He's turning out the locker, the one with the specimens of the moon rock and soil in it.
Lemmy, what are you doing? Leave all that stuff alone.
Ah, got it.
Got what?
This. It was still there, where Doc's diary said we put it, in the locker.
What is it?
It's the knife. The prehistoric stone knife that Jet found outside the ship.
Good heavens, then it must be true. Every word of it. We could never have picked up a thing like this on the moon.
Yeah, but we could have brought it with us from Earth. To substantiate our story. Well, Doc could anyway.
Hey, wait a minute. Are you accusing me of fixing the whole thing up, Mitch?
You brought the diary, didn't you? You could have brought the knife, too. Newspapers would pay a lot of money for this story back home.
Now, look,
now wait a minute,
you
two. Let's not start arguing. The whole thing is absolutely fantastic, but I don't think anybody's trying to pull anything.
Well, then how can you explain it?
I don't know. Strange things have happened to all of us in the 3 weeks since we left Earth.
Yeah, you tried telling Earth about them. See what they have to say about it.
I'm going to call up Control.
To be laughed at?
No. To tell them we're short of fuel and may have difficulty landing.
Oh.
We'll look deeper into that diary and all that's connected with it before we breathe a word of it to anybody at home.
Well, now you're talking sense, Jet. If we're not careful, all the reception we'll get will be from a bunch of psychiatrists.
Get base, Lemmy, will you?
Yes, mate.
I can't understand it at all, Jet. I don't recall writing one word of any of this.
Hello, Rocket Ship Luna calling Wonga Walla. Come in, please.
Hello, Luna. Standing by.
Hello, this is Morgan speaking.
Hello, Jet. Everything okay? You're dead on course. We're prodding you all the way.
We're out of fuel.
What?
Yes, and landing may be a bit tricky.
You can land all right. You can glide in, and we've got bags of room for you. The whole outback is at your disposal.
Oh, I haven't any fear of not landing us safely. It's just that I can't guarantee to put her down on the launching ground. You may have to go out into the desert and look for us.
Well, don't worry, Jet. We'll be ready. We'll find you.
Good. I thought I'd better warn you now while there was plenty of time.
No other news?
No, nothing else. What news have you got? What's been happening back home?
You're the biggest news we've had for years. Oh, except for one thing.
Oh, what's that?
Well, there's been another flying saucer scare, the biggest we've had since the 1950s.
What?
And sighted over Australia by a dozen independent eyewitnesses.
What did these saucers look like?
Like saucers, of course. Circular aircraft, anyway. About 20 of them, flying at tremendous speed and in a circular formation. Well, half an hour ago, they were sighted over America. You better keep a lookout for them, Jet. Maybe they're trying to steal your thunder.
Yes, we will.
Lot of nonsense.
What makes you think so?
Something cooked up by the newspapers, inspired by your trip. What else could it be?
It could be a lot of things.
Don't tell me you believe in them, Jet.
Oh, I'm not saying I do or I don't. I don't believe or disbelieve anything until it's proved or otherwise.
Same here. When will you be calling again?
In 2 hours.
Right, I'll be listening. Good luck on your return home and happy landing.
Thanks. Thanks, Wonga Walla. Thanks a lot.
You've been listening to the final episode of Journey into Space with Andrew Foles as Jet Morgan, Alfie Bass as Lemmy, Guy Kingsley-Pointer as Doc, and David Williams as Mitch. The part of the time traveler was played by Derek Giler, and other parts were played by David Jacobs. The orchestra was conducted by Van Phillips, who also composed the music. Journey into Space was written and produced for the BBC by Charles Chilton.
The Journey Into podcast is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license. Listen to the podcast, share it with your friends, store it, and share it with any format you would like. But please do not change the content or sell it. The theme music for this podcast is provided by Man in Space.